Hey there, welcome to Verity Vitamins. My name is Benjamin Pace, and we have been in a series entitled Pour No More. And last week I talked about living on a word. I talked about how we can live on the word of the Lord if we will act on the word of the Lord. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And you will remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." In verse 7, he said, "For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein you will eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig brass." Now, we've talked about this, but notice that there's work that you have to do in the land. You have to till the land. You have to cultivate the land that he brings you into. And he says this down in verse 18. He says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day." You know, the power to get wealth is not just financial miracles. It has to do with you doing something. The power to get wealth has to do with financial miracles and financial wisdom. And both of those things must be acted on. We talked about this last week, how Peter got a word from Jesus that said, "Launch out into the deep." And once he acted on the word and had done it, it produced a financial miracle. And the woman who cried to Elisha in 2 Kings, she got a word from the Lord through Elisha. And after she acted on the word, it supernaturally produced wealth. It produced a business that she used to pay off all her debt and live off of for the rest of her life, apparently. So that is supernatural. That is a financial miracle. And when we act on the word of God, it can and will produce financial miracles. But there's also financial wisdom that God gives us. And if we'll act on that, it will produce prosperity. It will help us come out of poverty. It'll help us come up to a better place, a higher place. So both of these things are true. There is financial miracles, there's financial wisdom. And both of those things, if we'll act on them, are the power to get wealth. Now, I want to come back to where we left off last week in 2 Kings 4. I just mentioned it to you, where Elijah told this woman, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, and don't just gather a few. Go knock on everyone's door. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. And ask them to borrow a vessel." Would the Lord ever lead you to borrow something to start a business? Now, I'm not saying that you always need to do that. And if the Lord's told you to do it debt-free, then whatever he says to you, do it. But at the same time, I don't believe it's a sin to borrow. But it is important who you borrow from, and you need to be led about that. Now, I'm not encouraging you to borrow money necessarily, but at the same time, you need to do what he says to you. And don't feel like you don't have faith if you needed to borrow something. Because I have an example right here in Scripture of when the Lord told this woman, "Go borrow some vessels." And she used these borrowed vessels to start a business that got her out of debt and supernaturally produced enough that they lived off of it for the rest of their life. It brought them not only out of debt, but up to a better place financially that they were able to live off of for the rest of their life. She got a word from the Lord, and once she had completely acted on that word, it produced. Now, there was most likely plenty of opportunity to feel bashful about what she was doing. You know, maybe on door number three, she was starting to feel bad about asking her neighbors for extra vessels that they weren't using. You know, maybe after pouring the seventh jar of oil in the thing, maybe she wasn't, you know, sure what was going to happen here. Before the miracle manifests, it's easy to talk ourselves out of things. Before the miracle manifests, it's easy for us to talk ourselves out of what God told us to do. And there are times that God will say, do this, do that. And we're like, okay, but Lord, if I do that, what about this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to have that? And the Lord doesn't say anything else because that was the word. But if we'll act on the word, once we have fully done it, and not just half done it, not just done it a little bit to see what happens, when we go all in and act on what he tells us to do, once we've done that, the miracle manifests. And in some cases, as we do it, the miracle manifests. But here's the thing, God knows our heart. And he knows if we're drawing back in our heart from doing what he told us to do. And he knows if we're playing games with it, if we're just kind of putting our toes in the water to see the temperature. You know what I'm talking about? He knows if we're not all in with it. And in a lot of cases, when people have fully committed to doing what God has told them to do, the miracle did start to manifest as they went. Like those lepers, as they went, they were healed. But it was a heart thing. And in other cases, it wasn't until after they had completely and fully done what the Lord told them to do that the miracle manifested. For Peter in Luke chapter 5, the Bible says, after they had this done, they enclosed a great number of fish. After they had fully committed, you know, Peter, when he walked on the water, he had to commit. He had to step out of the boat. And as he put his weight down on the water, the word became a foundation under his feet. Why? Because he acted on the word. And Jesus said, if anybody will hear my words and do them, they build their house on the rock. It will become a foundation. I wanted to tell a couple of stories in my own life about when I experienced this. When I was about 21 years old, I had a really good job. I had a good community at my job. My bosses really liked me. And I had opportunity at my job to encounter people and pray for people and minister to people, which no matter where you are, you can do your work as unto the Lord. And God can use you in that place. But I was hungry for more in my spirit. And I was serving at a really good church. I had a good position in serving church. I was going to college at the time, going to get my business degree. And I was living at home and I was single. So a lot of people would have looked at that and said, Ben, you've got the perfect situation. You've got a good, steady job. Somebody had just given me my first car. And so I wasn't in debt for a car. And, you know, I was going to community college, so it wasn't, you know, that expensive. And I had even gotten some grants and things like that. So nothing really crazy financially happening, you know. And a lot of people would have looked at that and said, you know, Ben, you know, you're serving at church and that's good. You know, you're being a good Christian. You're giving back to your church, you know, and it was great what I was doing. It was very important what I was doing. It was a good ministry, what I was doing. But a lot of people would have looked at that and said, you know, Ben, don't shake things up. Don't shake things up. You've got a good situation. And you know, you can save money. You're not paying rent right now. You're not in debt. You can get into a good place financially. You know, you can use this time to really get in a strong place. And listen, the Lord may tell somebody to do that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The only problem was I wasn't satisfied in my spirit. I wasn't satisfied on the inside. I knew God had more for me than that. And it's important to be faithful. where God puts you. But I endeavored to be in that time. But I remember that there came a time that I got a word. I got a word from the Lord. And the word was, move to Texas and serve this ministry. And this was a ministry of people that I knew of, but not people I knew very well personally. And I had to quit my job. I had to step down from the position I had at church. I had to get out of, unenroll in college, and I had just started my second semester, and move down to Texas to take an unpaid internship with no promise of a job, no promise of a paycheck, not even totally knowing exactly where I was going to live, because I got a word. And I drove my 1997 Ford Explorer with no working speedometer down to Texas with about $60 to my name. And when I got there, some people gave me some other things and some other money that was sewn into me. And so I was okay for a little bit. But there was one week in particular where I didn't have a lot of money or a lot of food. And I kind of just did some snacking. Now, it wasn't because other people were requiring me to do that. They didn't know. I didn't tell people. But I was endeavoring to act on the word. And there came a time when the heads of that ministry asked us to get jobs so we could get apartments. So know what we did? We got jobs. Why? Because that was the word. That was the word that we received. And none of that was what anybody would consider a smart financial decision. And again, no promise of a job, no promise that at the end of this, you know, like on the pursuit of happiness, you know, if you do this internship at the end, you might get this really nice job. We didn't have that promise. We didn't have that guarantee. And we didn't get a job. We served, I say we, I'm talking about the people that were there with me. I served that ministry for almost 4 years. And I worked at Chick-fil-A at night. And that's how we lived. And a lot of times that paycheck from Chick-fil-A wasn't enough to cover all my expenses. And guess what happened? Money came from other places. People that I didn't even know sent me checks in the mail. At the right time, just when I needed things, a relative would send a care package that I didn't ask for, didn't pull on them for. What's happening? I lived off of a word. But it wasn't what a lot of people would call a smart financial decision. And there came a time when that season ended and the internship ended. And again, no job at the end of it. But again, I was in a similar situation. I had a good job at Chick-fil-A. I was a manager. I was in a management position. I had a good apartment situation with my roommate. Now, this time I at least got my own place. You know, I'm not living with mom and stepdad anymore. So that's good, right? So I'm in this apartment and I've got a good job. I'm going to a big church with a good coffee shop, you know, and nothing wrong with that. But, you know, and a 12:45 service. You know, listen, when you've been working late on a Saturday night, that 12:45 service is nice. You know, I had a good situation living in a metroplex. You know, there's a lot going on, a lot of good stuff. But again, I was dissatisfied on the inside. I was dissatisfied. I knew, God, there's more than this. There's more than this. And again, I had people tell me, you know, you need to make some smart financial moves. You need to make some smart financial decisions. You know, you could become a grand opening trainer and make a career out of that. And there, you know, you might think Chick-fil-A doesn't sound like much, but listen, the grand opening trainers make a lot of money. And they get to travel around and stay in hotels and different things. Well, I like to travel. That could be fun. And, you know, going to a big, nice church. You know, I had some friends, you know, at my job and things like that. Again, had a good apartment situation, wasn't paying a lot in rent, but I was dissatisfied. I was dissatisfied on the inside. Now, I'm not talking about not being content with what God has given you. I'm talking about being spiritually dissatisfied, knowing there's more than this, wanting more spiritually. and the word of the Lord came to me again. You know, the Bible talks about how the word of the Lord came to them again. And the word of the Lord came to me inside, on the inside, my spirit, and he said, go back to Branson. Now, up to that point, I had said, I won't move back to Branson. I won't move back to Branson. I'll stop by there, but maybe I'll move to Colorado, but I won't move to Branson. But the Lord said, go back to Branson. And so I went back to Branson, and I tried to go to Colorado, and it didn't work. Why? I didn't have a word to go to Colorado. The word was go back to Branson. And in my spirit, I perceived that I needed to start doing a food delivery service with my car. Well, that was not necessarily what you'd call a lucrative career. And I lived at my grandparents' vacation home for a couple of years. Well, again, that looks like it's going backwards. Why would you do that? What you know, you need to move on with your life. You need to be doing this. Why would you go and stay at your grandparents' vacation home and do DoorDash for 2 years? That's not a lucrative financial decision. Yeah, but that was the word. Are you listening? That was my word. And that's what I lived off of. I lived off of that word. And when the food delivery service wasn't enough, money came in from other places. But that was the word. And then there came a time where I got a job offer. And I prayed about it for 2 weeks. And I felt impressed I was supposed to take it. Well, again, that was the word. Do you see what I'm saying to you? And many of us make decisions based more on the money than we do the word. When the reality is, acting on the word is what produces the wealth. It's what causes us to produce a living. Do you see that? And we're always supposed to be increasing. You know, with my first job, I was getting paid decently, but with my job at Chick-fil-A, I got paid more because I got promoted to a management position. But still, even with that, it wasn't much. You know, compared to what people are getting paid these days, especially after COVID, what I was making as a manager was less than what a lot of people start out with now, because some things have shifted and changed. But then this third job that I took was more money than I had made at either one of the previous jobs. What's happening? I increased. And I got married, and I got my own apartment. So no roommate other than my wife, obviously. And so what's happening? Increasing. So it's God's will that we come up and increase steadily. But that doesn't mean we don't use our faith anymore. And we have to change our mentality. We don't just live off of our job. We're supposed to live off of a word. Do you see that? We don't just live off of bread. We live off of every word that we receive from the Lord.